Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host Meghna Chakrabarty is away today. The special election for the U.S. Senate is the source of big political news in Massachusetts, but it's not the only special election coming up. Next Tuesday, residents of South Boston, Dorchester, Mattapan, and parts of Hyde Park, the first Suffolk district, will vote for their next state senator. The seat was last held by Jack Hart, who resigned back in January. It's been called the Southie seat, and for nearly four decades, it's been held by white Irish-American men from South Boston, including Hart, Stephen Lynch, and former Senate President William Bulger. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke to the Democratic candidate, Representative Linda Dorsey-Nafori, who could become the first Haitian-American and the first woman to represent the district. Today, her Republican opponent, Joe Urenick, is with us. If elected, he'd be the first Republican to win in a very long time in what has long been a Democratic stronghold. Joe Urenick lives in Dorchester. He's never held elective office. He joins us now. And Joe Urenick, welcome to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Yes, thanks for having me on, Anthony.
So, Joe, as we mentioned, the first Suffolk district, it's a Democratic stronghold. This is an uphill battle for any Republican, especially one like yourself without legislative experience. Do you really think, can you win?
Well, it is certainly an uphill battle. I've been walking the streets of South Boston since the primary and distributing literature and talking with people. So there are a lot of disaffected votes in South Boston for the district because of their hope that the local South Boston candidate would have won and that person lost in the primary. So I think those votes are up for grabs. And also in Dorchester, where I live, and I've lived most of my life except for a short time studying and working overseas, there's now a large Vietnamese community, and they're very fiscally conservative and socially conservative. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the issues that I talk about with people are both fiscally and socially conservative. So I think it's an uphill battle. The resources spent in the primary by the Democratic candidates were quite more than I spent and still spending. And so we'll see what happens on Tuesday. But I'm hoping that people will get out to vote on Tuesday and look at an alternative.
All right, the alternative. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself, Joe. You're on the ballot as a Republican, but you don't necessarily align with a particular party. You describe yourself as a Republican in the mold of Ron Paul. Is that right?
Well, I was an independent until 2007, and I became a Republican to support the Ron Paul campaign. Mm-hmm. Some of my thinking goes to the idea of non-intervention and smaller government, which align quite well with what Ron Paul talks about. Non-intervention on the foreign wars and getting involved in places that we shouldn't be involved in.
Issue for the Ron Paulistas.
Right, Ron Paulistas. But I think it also goes back to the government. Less government generally, in my opinion, and according to Ron Paul, is generally better for society as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Always recognizing that there's a role for government in protecting the elderly and the children, helping those in need. But I think we're at a time now in our society, and I think a lot more and more people are recognizing this, is that we have government overreach in so many aspects of our private lives. Now, one of the core issues that I talk about in my campaign is the situation facing fathers, families, and children. We have some laws in the state of Massachusetts that came into effect in the late 70s, and the saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, I think is never more pertinent than with some of these laws that are out there.
Well, let me ask you specifically about this, because as we said, you haven't held elective office. You serve as chairman of the Fatherhood Coalition. That's a men's rights organization. So tell us about these issues and these particular laws that you're concerned about.
Yes. Well, the main law that's in particular that we're concerned about is known as the domestic abuse law, and it's often conflated with the idea of domestic violence. Now, every year in Massachusetts, some 25 to 50,000 of these orders are issued under this law, and judges who issue these orders will tell us off the bench that up to 90 or 95% of these orders are really without merit. But the effects of these orders are extremely destructive to families, to the individual, mostly men who are the recipients of the orders, and of the orders, and to the children. Fathers are removed from their homes. Mm-hmm. They cannot see their children often for many years, and they are strapped financially because of the legal implications that they're suddenly and precipitously thrust into.
Joe, I've heard complaints about these kinds of issues. At the same time, domestic violence is, I mean, there's plenty of examples out there of domestic violence in a real way being a real issue for a lot of folks. So you're not denying that the issue of domestic violence remains a threat both for women and for men?
Well, I would say that the issue of violence is going to be there, but the main problem with the law is the fact that first of all, there, as I just mentioned, there are many instances where there's no violence committed, but yet it's people are charged under these laws, which provide for no due process to defend oneself. They're instantaneously removed from their homes. On the other hand, I agree, and the Fatherhood Coalition agrees quite strongly, that any act of violence, the perpetrator of a violent act, should be punished. There's no for criminally punished. So that's without question. The problem under the laws that we have now is that there's no due process. The listeners are probably familiar with the movie with Tom Cruise, Minority Report, where people are judged guilty before a crime is committed. That's essentially what happens under the laws that we have now. And it's extremely destructive, not only for the individuals and the families, but for the society at large.
Joe, how did you take up this issue? Is this something that you had a particular experience with yourself?
Well, I went through a divorce situation, so I saw firsthand what was happening in the divorce courts and the probate courts. So my situation was quite mild and tempered compared to what I've seen with many other men and fathers who get caught up in it. I always thought from a distance that the issues had validity. When I read about them, the Fatherhood Coalition was begun in the mid-90s, and I read about the Fatherhood Coalition. I knew what they were talking about, and so I got more and more involved and have been the head of the organization for the last few years. So I would say that it's an issue, it's an elephant in the room that the political leadership is unwilling to talk about, because it's been in place now since, as I said, the late 1970s. Mm. But it needs to be addressed.
Let me talk a little bit, or just ask you a little bit more about the challenge you face. Your opponent, Representative Linda Dorsey-Nafori, she joined us a few weeks ago. We talked to her. She's got 8 years of experience in political office. You're a political newcomer as far as elected office goes. Isn't that going to be a big challenge for you?
It's a challenge, but I would say that sometimes when people are in office, there's the Star Trek movie where the Borg assimilate the people. People in elective office get assimilated by the system quite quickly. And particularly in a state like Massachusetts, not unlike a state like Texas, which is all Republicans, I think having a Republican in this district would be very, very helpful. It wouldn't solve the problem of the one-party system. We looked at the Soviet Union as being a one-party system. We have one-party systems here in the United States. It's a very detrimental system to have. There's lack of creativity, lack of innovation, and the impetus for the political life seems to be just to keep the machinery running without making the real changes that are necessary.
Mm. So you really see yourself as a potential agent of change. Let me ask you about this. You were the sole declared Republican candidate in the primary. According to the Boston Globe, correct me if I'm wrong here, or if they're wrong, you raised just $235 during the primary. You won 829 votes. Are you receiving any kind of support from the state Republican Party?
I have received some support from the Republican Party recently. Not as much as I would like, but mm-hmm. I have received some. But I would say in terms of the vote count, if one looks at votes per dollar, my votes cost me $1 per vote, while the Democrats paid between $20 and $30
per vote. So you're a bargain.
I'm a bargain for the price. But also, I think one has to look at the amount of money that are spent in these campaigns. Mm-hmm. The Democratic primary, they spent somewhere between almost a quarter of $1 million. Now, if we're concerned about helping people and doing good in the world, I think we can find better uses for our money.
Mm. So the Democrats, as we mentioned, dominated the seat for a long time, vacated recently by Jack Hart. So who are you counting on to show up to vote for you on Election Day in this Democratic stronghold?
I would say I'm looking first to the disaffected voters in South Boston, because those are the voters who are, in many ways, more aligned with my philosophy of being a social conservative, being fiscally conservative, but also people in the other districts who are like-minded in terms of being socially conservative and fiscally conservative. Whether or not we'll get the people out there remains to be seen. As you mentioned, I think, in your earlier segment, or one of your guests mentioned, people are not paying attention to the political elections this time around for whatever reason. So
maybe you can sneak in there.
Well, I don't want to use the word sneak
no,
in.
No, I'm
but
sorry.
I'll
I didn't, that was a poor word to use. But take advantage of people. The fact that a lot of people aren't paying attention to the vote.
As I said, I'm going out and walking the district and trying to get people to go out and vote, which is what every candidate should be doing. And hopefully the weather will accommodate us this weekend. We'll be out there in the district and trying to get people to the polls on Tuesday to vote for Joe Urenick.
All right. That's Joe Urenick. He's the Republican candidate for state senate in the 1st Suffolk District race. He's currently the chairman of the Fatherhood Coalition. Joe Urenick, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
And there's more to come. Coming up, senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine talks about vintage and lost recipes that are going to make your mouth water. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.